Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. We're on Facebook and YouTube, and we're streaming live, and we hope you'll take advantage of this new venue. We have open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And that number, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking apologetics this month, and I think the best apologetic, as far as the world is concerned, is just the simple story of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. There's nothing more powerful than that. Every other story that we could tell is just pales in comparison as far as the power to change. There's nothing more powerful than the story of Christ. There's nothing that is felt more deeply than the story of Christ. There's nothing that transforms a human heart like the story of Christ. So if we want to make a defense of the gospel, just tell the world about Jesus.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. We try to complicate things, don't we? But we don't need to. The world is waiting to hear the simple story of Jesus. And I love what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. Paul didn't come out with some incredible new philosophy. He didn't come out with anything that was going to wow the intellects of the day. He didn't come out with anything that was going to be fine sounding or those sort of things. He just told people about Jesus. And he wasn't shy about that. He was very forceful in his presentation about Christ. We deliver Christ crucified to the Jews and to the Gentiles. It's a stumbling block. It sounds foolishness. But to those who are called, it is both the wisdom of God and the power of God. So we have to trust that this story will do its work in the lives of people that it touches. We don't have to try to add to it. We don't have to try to make it more palatable out there in the community. We don't have to make it more relevant. It's the most relevant message that's ever been. It was relevant 2,000 years ago. It was relevant 1,000 years ago. It's relevant today. And if Jesus doesn't come back, it's going to be relevant in the next 1,000 years. We can count on it. Why? Because it's the only story that meets the needs of human beings. It's the only story that meets us where we are and lifts us up so that we can be fully human through faith in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to shrink back from preaching Christ, from preaching Christ crucified, buried, and then alive today. That is the good news. And I just wish there were more people out there in pulpits, on radio, on the blogospheres, and YouTube, Facebook, all of that, that would take a bold stand about Jesus. It, like I said, it's the most practical message that's out there. It's the most moving message. It's the most powerful message. Let's stand together and preach Christ and Christ crucified. It's what the apostles did. They turned the world upside down. Did they engage the culture? Yeah, they engaged the culture with the message of Jesus. And those who responded, they joined that revolution and helped Paul and the apostles tell others about Jesus. That's what we as believers need to be doing, telling the story of Jesus and telling it often, passionately, powerfully, and leaving the results of that to God.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question, if you have some issue of concern, if you'd like to join the conversation about the skepticism and those types of things that we've been talking about this week and this month on Basic Gospel, why, we'd love to hear from you in Canada and the U.S. It's a toll-free call at 844-322-2742. In the book called Case Christianity, Los Angeles County Detective Jim Wallace uses the skills that he learned as a homicide and crime scene investigator to look at the evidence and the eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs. Christianity could, in fact, be considered a cold case because it deals with an issue and claims that of things that happened many, many years ago and for which there's little forensic evidence remaining. Cold Case Christianity, of course, taps into the intense interest that so many of us have in detective stories. It inspires and prepares the readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case for Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is on its way to you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. We want you to have a copy of it. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the lines are open at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're very glad that you have joined us.
Well, thanks, Bob. Concerning this book, Cold Case Christianity, if you want a rock-solid faith, I think this is a great resource for you. If you are in the business of answering questions, skeptics are coming to you asking things about Jesus, about the Word of God, the validity of the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. Did this story actually happen? Was Jesus actually raised from the dead? I think this is a wonderful resource to have in your hands, to put up in your library, so that you can have reasonable answers. So take advantage of this. God has called us to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us. This is one of those books that will help you be prepared to give that answer. And there's going to come a day, I guarantee you, when somebody's going to ask you, why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you read the Word of God? What's so good about that? And I think if you equip yourself, you're going to be well prepared to give that answer and hopefully turn a skeptic to somebody that will at least examine the claims of Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, once again, Cold Case Christianity is yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, click donate on any page at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk to our good friend William. Hi, William. Welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Hi, Bob. People reject Jesus for many reasons, but one of the main reasons that I seem to run into is the erroneous belief that God condemns. And that's an idea that John just demolished in his gospel in the third chapter when he said that God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How could such an obvious absolute be, not believed by so many people, including those who usually name the name of Jesus Christ?
Well, William, I think that's a great question, and you really bring up the point that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That was the great unknown. We had no earthly idea what God thought about us. And we were left to figure that out through our own intellect. And our own intellect was tarnished by sin, by the flesh, and by the world system. So it was our idea about God was being shaped by the sin that lived in us. Our idea about God was being shaped by the lies of this world. It's no wonder that we missed it so far, that we were so far off in our understanding about God. So God made it simple for us. He sent Jesus. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and he did so to make the Father known to us so that we could see that he really does love us, that he does care for us, that he has a plan for us, which is eternal life, which is an eternal relationship with him. So Jesus coming into the world tells us that God does not condemn us. The fact that Jesus dwelt among us tells us that God did not condemn us. We had fallen under that when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We fell under the curse of sin and death. All of us come into this world already condemned. We're already dead spiritually. God sent Jesus so that we might have life. We might have life through faith in his name. So, no, God is not against us. He's for us. And he demonstrated that very clearly in Jesus Christ. So I think that's a very important point. You also bring up a great passage. Why do people reject Jesus? I think Jesus went on to explain it in verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Here is the height of Satan's deception on mankind. He has tricked mankind. He tricked Adam and Eve to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They suffered the consequences. And now through his lies and through his craftiness, he has made it such that we have fallen in love with sin and death. Yes. And that we like sin and death better than the alternative that Jesus brings to us, and that's everlasting life. So light has come into the world, but people have rejected that because their deeds were evil. They've liked darkness better than light. They've liked death better than life. That's the height of the deception that Satan has put forth on mankind. And it takes the power of the gospel, Christ crucified, dead, buried, and raised from the dead, that can penetrate that just thick deception and bring truth to our eyes, where we can see that God does not condemn us because of the work of Jesus.
Yeah. In my dark days, back not too many years ago, but far enough, I was so afraid of God that I couldn't talk to anybody about Jesus. Because what if I got it wrong? Or what if they pointed out something that was wrong with me? Because I thought he was condemning me. When I learned that truth and realized that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, that is when I could start talking to people about Jesus. Not a moment sooner, because otherwise I had the completely wrong definitions, completely wrong points of view, and that's all I could put onto other people was the guilt I was feeling myself.
Well, William, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, William. 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, a question or concern, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Kelly in Tampa writes, she says, I listened to Friday's teaching program regarding the maturing process that our trials and tribulations take us through, and to rejoice in our suffering that produces perseverance, character, and hope. Do these passages have a direct correlation to Hebrews 12:7? She says, would you please and kindly help me understand the application of Hebrews 12?
Well, they do have an application to Hebrews 12, because it's in that that we see the very statement about Jesus, that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes. So he's the one that's going to bring maturity to us. He's going to be the one that grows us up, that grows our faith in him. He is the author and perfecter. And so he goes into verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. So in the chapter in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy when you face trials or face testing, because you know that the testing of your faith will bring about perseverance, etc. That's the growing process. Yep. That's the world that we live in. We're going to suffer hardship in this world. That's not something just for a select few. That's what everybody experiences in this world. I've yet to meet a human being that hasn't suffered. I have yet to meet a human being that hasn't gone through some sort of hardship. I have yet to meet a human being that hasn't been tried or tested in their faith as believers in Christ. It's just the way of the world. And so we don't have to look at that as punishment from God, as so many people do. You know, God, I thought you loved me. If you really love me, why did you allow this to happen?
Yeah.
That's just the world that we live in. These things are going to happen. You may be working at a company and everything looks good, and the president of the company makes a boneheaded decision that ruins the entire company. You go down with it. Now, was that God punishing you? Absolutely not. That was the president of the company making a boneheaded decision that brought about hardship in your life. How are you going to face that? How are you going to endure that hardship? Well, you're going to see if you really trust the Lord or not. And as you learn to trust the Lord in the middle of that hardship, you're going to gain those qualities of perseverance. You're going to gain those qualities of character. You're going to have hope injected into that situation. And you're going to leave that situation with a deeper understanding of the love of God and more love in that reservoir to pour out into the lives of others. That's what God is doing in our lives. So in this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 12, the result of that is a harvest of righteousness. So God wants us to have a harvest of righteousness that flows out of us in our day-to-day lives. That's going to be a byproduct of our faith. So if we're going to see that fruit of righteousness, that's going to come from abiding, which is faith, in the vine of Christ Jesus. When are we going to have to do that? During hardships. Why? Because that's what life is made of. If we're out of one and life seems to be going well, there's one coming. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. Kelly, good to hear from you. Haven't heard from you in a while, and appreciate you writing to give us your question. And friends, if you have a question, can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live during the 3 o'clock hour, why, we encourage you to call that same number, 844-322-2742. You can record your question or drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. We had a question from Tom. Before I do that, though, I want to remind our listeners, if you were listening, if you were with us on Monday during the broadcast, you heard Jim Wallace. He was the writer of Cold Case Christianity, and a wonderful time with him, and we encourage you to get a copy of his book, and you can do that by making a contribution to Basic Gospel this month. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, click donate, and we'll get a copy to you. Just request it when you make your gift. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. A question from Tom in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. Says, I love your ministry. You guys have been a blessing to me. I've heard many Christians testify that when they were saved, they were delivered from certain sins and never committed them again. I know that I'm saved and Jesus is in my life and nothing can change that, but I still have areas in my life that I struggle with. Although I have experienced victory in these areas, I still ultimately fall to them. Am I the only one, or do others have the same problem? How can I walk continually in victory?
Well, thankfully, he's the only one.
Yeah, I think he's the only one. So,
yeah.
We all struggle, don't we?
We do.
Here's the reality. So we come to Christ by faith. So this gospel message penetrates these hearts of ours and moves us to trust Jesus. So there's this incredible transformation that takes place deep within us. We're born again of the Spirit of God. God sends His Spirit to take up residence in our spirit. There's a union that forms. So that's what new birth is all about. That's what this new creation is all about. But our souls haven't been born again, and our bodies haven't been born again. So there's this hope of resurrection. One day, these bodies are going to be made new. They're going to be resurrected. And so we're going to have a resurrection body exactly like Jesus's resurrection body, where the mortal is going to put on immortality, the perishable is going to put on the imperishable.
Yes.
That's the hope of the gospel. So the Spirit, it is totally new. It is totally complete. There's not going to be anything added to this spiritual aspect of us. Now, because Jesus is alive living in us, He begins the process of transforming us from the inside out. So He starts renewing our minds. So we can come to Christ and, you know, we're brand new and we're so excited. And then we realize, oh my gosh, I'm thinking the same stupid thought today that I did 2 days ago. Well, that part of your mind hasn't been renewed. God is going to renew your mind. That's a process, isn't it? That's what we call growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as our minds start to renew, our emotions are going to start to change, and our chooser is going to start to change. We're going to make different choices, and all of that is going to be manifested in action as we live our lives. So here's the deal. In this body of ours, in these minds of ours, in these members of our body, sin still lives there. And so sin is not going to go away. It's still going to try to influence us. And it does so through the flesh. So there's a conflict. There's a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And sometimes we listen to that voice of the flesh and we give into it. Now, here's the deal about the flesh. It will never improve. It's never going to be anything other than flesh. We can try to clean it up. We can put perfume on it. We can do all of those things, but it's still going to be the flesh, and it's always going to behave like the flesh. So if the flesh has been gratified in a certain way when you were lost, the flesh is going to want to be gratified in exactly the same way now that you're saved. So you're going to feel some of those desires of the flesh, and you're going to think, Lord, I thought I was changed. I thought I was transformed. Well, you were. You were made new in your spirit, born again. Jesus Christ has come to live there. You have new desires that are spiritual in nature, but that does not negate the flesh. So you're still going to have fleshly desires, but those fleshly desires aren't you. They used to be you when you were lost, but they're not you anymore. You have a new set of desires. So you have to learn to say to the flesh, I'm not listening to you anymore. I've been bought. I've been purchased. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm listening to my new owner, and his name is Jesus, and he has better things for me than you do. So shut up. Go talk to somebody else. I'm listening to Jesus. And that's the way we have to deal with it, isn't it?
It is. And what Jesus will teach you is that this miracle of salvation had nothing to do with how bad you were. It had to do with how dead you were.
Yes.
The miracle is coming from death to life spiritually in Jesus Christ. The miracle is not that I don't have a testimony to tell about being a mass murderer for 23 years and finding Jesus all of a sudden. Now that, those are the stories we tend to hear. Those are the behavior-based stories. Ignore them. The thing that happened to the mass murderer to save him or her is exactly the same thing that happened to you to save you, and you were the best citizen in your town.
Yes.
The same miracle. Both of you were equally dead. You acted it out differently, but the salvation was the miracle. You came back to life, and now you can have this conversation. You couldn't have it before.
That's exactly right. So for everyone that's been saved, they have died with Christ, they've been buried, placed into Christ, and they have been raised to walk in the newness of life. The same grace that saved the worst of sinners is the same grace that saves the best of us, so to speak. It's the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been directed towards you. That power is living inside of you. The resurrected Jesus is living inside of you. He is more powerful than the desires of the flesh. Listen to him. Walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Don't let those desires of the flesh freak you out. Don't let those desires of the flesh bamboozle you and make you think that you're something other than you are. If you're a believer, you're a believer. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. If you have been saved, Christ has come to live inside of you. Listen to him. Listen to his voice. Keep in step with the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Good stuff. And it is good news. It's the kind of news you get every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. Friends, you know the importance of giving through Basic Gospel simply cannot be overstated. You've heard their voices and about the real-life circumstances our listeners face. You've heard the questions of some who have, as one listener put it some time ago, been beaten up and knocked down and practically dragged out by things that he's heard from the pulpit and also by the troubling issues of life. And at those times, Basic Gospel has been there with The Answer. It is our hope to keep The Answer coming, freeing people from the bondage of legalism and shining the light of the gospel into lives under stress. And we hope that you'll continue to help us as well, friends. When you click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift, you can request a copy of Jim Wallace's great book called Cold Case Christianity. We've talked about it this week, and we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get your copy. Again, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy when you make your gift to Basic Gospel. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will too. Bye-bye.